going to continue in dealing with God's way, not always the same way, and we're going into part five. Right? The fifth area we're going to look at tonight is going to be found in Matthew chapter 2. We're going to go to what we call the Christmas story, at least one section of the Christmas story. And anybody want to guess who we're going to look at? We're going to look at the wise men. Alright, we're going to look at the wise men. And there's a few things you see from them and some historical facts that we know concerning them that begin to put together a picture of men that one way or another followed God's way. And this particular evening, our focus in this area of doing it God's way, not always the same way, our focus is on the need for vigilance. The need for vigilance. And so looking at Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse number 7, we'll read down to verse number 12. It says, "This then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." If you know anything about Herod the king, Herod had no intentions of worshiping anybody but himself. Herod had no desire to honor anyone but himself. Matter of fact, the entire reason behind all of this inquiry, the entire reason he's trying to use these men to find this prophesied child is because he felt a threat to his kingdom, to his rule, to his control, and he wanted to eradicate that threat. And so he's trying to be something that he is not. He's trying to present himself in a way that he has actually no intentions in things to do. And he is being 100% hypocritical in his purpose and request. Verse number 9 says, "When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Now we could go into a whole background of what each gift stood for and its purpose, which ultimately, I will just tell you, dealt with who God is, dealt with why he came, and dealt with his holiness as well. So every single bit of that had a purpose. They weren't just any gifts. They were gifts with specific definitions and descriptions of this child. And we're not going there, that's not the message for tonight. But they present those gifts, they worship him. In verse 12, where we're going to stop and kind of focus for this evening. "To the being warned of God in a dream, that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." And so we're going to look tonight at the need for vigilance as we follow God's way and not just our own. And we're actually in these settings we're going to give and looking at these men, not just three. I would venture to say there's more than three. It does not say exactly how many men, it just tells us how many gifts. But these individuals who have come this far, they have done numerous things right. And you're going to find out in just a minute. They've done numerous things right, correctly, with the right heart, the right purpose, the right drive in life. And yet, after they do all those things right, they can't let their guard down. They've done everything according to God's will, and yet they still have to be vigilant. Even after their goal had been met. Even after their desire to fulfill what was right had been done, it was not time to let up and quit. They had to keep on the right track in following God's way, even past goals being accomplished. And so the need for vigilance tonight is our focus as we look at these men. We're going to stay in this chapter and just look at the verses and tie some things together. I don't plan on being long this evening. Plans change. But I don't plan on being long. Let's pray and we'll look right into their decisions and then their evidence of vigilance they show. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for your house, for your people. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you in song. Lord, to lift up your name and to praise you, for you are worthy. And I pray that you would help us now that our hearts have been stirred through the singing as a congregation, the special of the choir, and also the special by the Hirschberger family. Lord, every bit of it leading us up to a heart and a desire to want to learn more about you and learn more that we can do to please you on a daily basis, that we might be servants fit and meet for the master's use. I pray that you help us, Lord, to learn tonight something else that we can apply on a daily basis in our Christian walk. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. So, the need for vigilance. These wise men are not just any person out of the blue. They've got it from anywhere. These are some very specific individuals. They're also known historically as magi. And there's the whole background with that. I'm not going to go into all of that. But these were wise men. These were individuals who were studied. They were, as you might even say, learned men. They were knowledgeable. They studied many different things. They came out of the East, we know that much, and so therefore they came from a distance. How far exactly is supposed by many different people, but regardless, the distance was worth noting because they made a choice to travel to find the Christ child. They made a choice to leave home, to go locate the one who had been prophesied about. And so we're going to look at four simple decisions they made leading up to seeing Christ. Well, three decisions, and then what they decided to do when they met the child and they found Mary and the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. They see all that. They made a fourth decision. But there's three they made prior to all that, and here they are. These men anticipated patiently what it was that God had for them. Now, I want you to understand, if we're picturing these individuals, we're also to be picturing for ourselves. In a way, how do you relate what we're talking about to your personal life? You look at the different elements we're dealing with here and understand we all have times of these same things being needed in our life. There are times when we must, with great anticipation, be patient for the purpose of God in our lives. I think about the house. Almost made a big mistake on the first one. But God directed. God made very clear. He showed a lot of things before it was too late. And God made the decision. No. This is not what we're supposed to do right here. Now here's the thing. Had God said do it anyways? No matter what it looked like, if God placed in the heart to do it anyways, it would have been a tough decision, but to do God's will, you would have to do it. Just trust that, well, I guess God has a way He's going to fix all this. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes the choice is not the one that makes sense to me. But I have a peace of God. And I can't change it. No matter what I do, I'm like, oh, okay, Lord, I've done it before. I said, Lord, my typical standard on big, big decisions in life, my wife can attest to this, our typical standard of how we operate, because it's been the way that the Lord has placed upon our heart to do, if it's a major life decision, we give at least 2 weeks of time. We'll talk about it, we'll look at it, and we'll say, okay, give us 2 weeks to pray about it, give us 2 weeks to think about it, and here's what I do in those 2 weeks. A lot of times, even if I'm eager and excited and really want this to work, I have to almost shove it aside. I'm kind of praying, Lord, I need you to give me peace, or well, peace one way or the other. Give me a direction one way or the other that is solid. And if God gives me peace, I go with it. But what I do most of the time, though, is I'll shove it aside and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to try to shake it, and if I can't shake it, then you've got my attention. If I can't get distracted, if I can't get off the path, if I can't do everything to get my mind settled somewhere else. But if you keep on bringing it back, keep on bringing it back, keep on bringing it back, and I can't get rid of this thought, I can't get rid of this purpose, I can't get rid of this request, if it's that much settled to constantly come back, then it must be God trying to bring something up. So I'm going to start listening very intently to Him. I found within 2 weeks I will either know, normally, in 2 weeks I will either know that God is trying to do something or God's not in it. And so I need to let it go. There are times when patience is needed much when we are in great anticipation. When we are looking for and we are wanting and we are eager, we have to be willing to step back and wait patiently for when God says go. That's what these wise men did. In verse, look at verse number 1 and verse number 2. It says, now, of course we're looking in chapter 2 here, Matthew. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And in the first part of the second verse says, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Now, these are men from the east. They're from the, what we often say, from the Orient. They're not in this area of Bethlehem. They're not within that very quick surrounding there. And so they're from a distance away. It's not natural that... Let's just pick a country. Okay? We live right near Mexico, and well, not near Mexico, but the border, our borders are right to each other, or even Canada. You pick either direction, and we could get to either way just by driving. It might take a little while, but we could get there from the United States. We could drive to the Mexican border, we could drive to the Canadian border, and with, you know, the right papers and all that kind of stuff, we could pass over into the other country. Now, as close as we are, and we can get there, might take a little bit of travel time. Here's one thing I know. I don't know much of anything about Mexican happenings. What's going on in Mexico? I really don't know. What's the main focus in Mexico? I don't know. Who's the president? Who's the trying to make president? Unless it's on the news, I really don't know much of anything going on in Mexico. Why? I'm not focused on Mexico. Same thing in Canada. I really don't know much other than cold. And some of them up there are really weird. But when everything about it, I might know about the areas where they're located, but I don't know any of the details going on there. Now you have to consider here the wise men who are coming, and they come seeking, and their question is, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Well, how do they know that? How do they know that thing's going to happen? Well, we see later on, down in verse number 4 to verse number 6, that even Herod inquires as to prophecy. What is this they're talking about? Who is this person they're saying? Herod really didn't have a clue. These men have been waiting for a long time for this prophecy. And they say, listen, they say, when we have seen his star in the east, they knew instantly because of that sign. They knew, it's time. We've been waiting for something we've been reading about, something we've heard about, we've been anticipating when this is going to happen. There's the star. Let's go. See, they, with anticipation, have been waiting for the go-ahead to go find this prophecy fulfilled. When they come, look at verse 4 to verse 6. It says with Herod himself, that then when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. All of a sudden, it piqued his interest. Well, then, who is this Christ? Where is he going to be born? So, how do they find out? Well, the Bible tells us verse 5, that they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And so here's a prophecy written hundreds of years before that these men from the east somehow had gotten a hold of and believed this to be an accurate prophecy of things to come, and with anticipation they were waiting for the go-ahead to go find this prophecy fulfilled. And so here they are. They're waiting on God. They're waiting on God. They're waiting on God. They're waiting on God. Then it happens. There's the star. We know this is a sign. Let's go find the King of the Jews. So, they correctly and properly were patient with great anticipation, but then they followed faithfully. They anticipated patiently. They followed faithfully. We see in the second verse here, the last part of it, where we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. They saw the star and they didn't hesitate, and they followed what they were given to follow. And they didn't go this way. They didn't try to find another star. They didn't try to find another way or hit the better path. No, they let the star that God placed there to be their guide. They let God's hand of guidance to put them where they're supposed to be. And they followed that path, and they did it faithfully. How do they end up there in that area, heading towards Bethlehem, and knowing where to go, and they didn't even know the area? How did they go? They followed what God had placed before them. And due to that following faithfully, they end up before Herod, because now Herod is trying to figure out what's going on. It was enough of an unusual event for these men to be coming in searching for something that it even caught the eye of Herod the king. It caught his attention, and he wanted to speak to these men. Now, if it was nothing unusual for men like this to show up in town, he would have thought nothing of it. But here it is, these are unusual men that he begins to hear are have arrived for unusual purposes. Now all of a sudden his curiosity is piqued, and he's trying to figure out, is there some kind of a king that's trying to overthrow me? So he pulls them in. He wants to talk to them. He talks to his own priests, his own scribes. He talks to all these wise men of his country, and finally realizes there is a prophecy. And these men have come this far just to see it fulfilled. So it must be something real. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to look for. But evidently, since they've come this far, and they're here, and this is where it's supposed to happen, evidently they know something I don't. So let's let them do the work. And so Herod tells them to go and to search diligently. Verse number 8. They followed the star faithfully to this point. Now they come before Herod. And verse number 8 says, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when he hath found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. These men, once they left the presence of Herod, they followed the exact command. Listen, there's a reason why God had to come to them later and warn them, because they honestly had no idea that Herod had ill intent when it comes to Christ child. They left believing that Herod himself, now I fully believe they had all intentions to come back and let Herod know what they had found and where he was, so he could go do what they had just done. And especially with the joy and the excitement they received, and just the pure ability to worship God in the flesh, they were so excited. I guarantee they wanted to share it. I guarantee you, their thought was, let's go tell Herod, he's going to be happy. Guarantee they could not wait to give somebody else the opportunity to do what they just did. They searched diligently. They finished the call on their life. I don't believe it was just happenstance that they saw a star. Just happenstance. They knew there was a proclamation and a prophecy that their Christ child was going to be born. I don't think it's just happenstance they followed that star and just happened to be in the right place. I believe it's all orchestrated by God. It was a call of God on their life. And if you don't believe in it for any other reason, it's placed in God's Word for a reason, for a permanent record, that they followed God's star. And as they come, they find the babe. Now, they anticipated patiently. They followed faithfully. They searched diligently, and they have now arrived at their goal. All this time, all this waiting, all this work, and they have arrived now at the place where Christ is. Now, I made a mistake earlier, and I'll correct it. They were not the ones that found them wrapped in swaddling clothes. That would be the shepherds. Some reason the stories. The good possibility that Christ could be anywhere from 2 to 3 years old. I believe he's more of a toddler at this time, because Herod himself found out the timing of it. And so when he sent out to go kill every single man child, it was from 3 and down. Why 3 and down? He wanted to make sure he covered all the possibilities of how old the child would be. And so I believe that Jesus was a little bit older. It took him a while to get there. It took him a while to arrive. They have followed every bit of what God has had for them, specifically. But here's what they do fourthly, when they reach their goal, when they see the prophecy that is fulfilled, they see the Christ child, and we see in verse 4:11, here's what they do. When they were come into the house, by the way, that's another reason, though, it wasn't the Savior. They're actually in a house now. Okay? So when they come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. At this point, they have reached their destination. They have, up to this point, fulfilled God's call for their life and the purpose he had for them. And now what you find is they anticipated patiently, they followed faithfully, they searched diligently, and they worshiped willingly. And I believe with everything in them, they knew how special, they knew who this was, they knew this is unique, this is unusual, this is God. Because they worshiped him with the gifts that describe his holiness, his perfectness, and his sacrifice. Every bit of it was then declaring, we know who this is, and we know his promise. In worshiping him, by the way, he was with his mother Mary, but they did not fall down and worship Mary. Bible says they worship him. And in doing this, they complete 4 major areas of their life of following God's will. Following God's plan. They have been successful. They have now reached and completed the goal for their life for that moment. And here's what most Christians, if we're not careful, here's what we do. We have prayed. We have waited. We have stayed faithful. We've searched diligently for the will of God. We have followed every step that he's placed before us. We let him direct those steps. The steps of a good man are directed by the Lord. So we want him to direct those steps. We want him to lead us. And we follow every step. We don't move unless God says move. We don't go unless God's going before us. We make sure that we're doing everything exactly how God wants, because we don't want to be out of his will. We want to complete what he has for our life. And then we get to a point where we have these goals set. That we want to serve God, we want God to use us in the right way, and then we see those goals accomplished, and we let down our guard all of a sudden, because we did it. And about that time, we forget to go back and say, Lord, tomorrow is a new day. And we start making decisions about seeking God. We spend all this time seeking God, spend all this time following God, spend all this time not making a move unless he gave us peace, and then we get to a point where we arrive at this point of where we hope God would bring us, and we've accomplished our goal. Or at least one goal. I mean, there should be multiple ones. But we've accomplished the goal. And when we get there, if we're not careful, we forget tomorrow's a new day. And all that we did to get here, we stopped doing the next day because we got there. We completed it. We did it. But as long as we breathe, there's a new goal I've got to reach. There's a new place I've got to get to. There's There's somewhere else that God wants to take me. When God's bringing me down this path of life, He has an A, B, C, D, you know, He can go through the whole alphabet if He wants to, in points that He wants me to get to. And if I get to A, and I get to B, and I get to C, and all of a sudden, whoo, I did it! Wow! God's been good. What do I want to do tomorrow? If we're not careful, we forget. No, we got to C with Him, but He wants us to go to D and E and F. And He wants us to keep on going. He doesn't want us to stop just because we accomplished this goal. We prayed for years and years, and we've asked God to direct us for years, and then all of a sudden we get to where we know this is where God wanted me. And then we stop seeking His advice. We stop seeking His direction. We stop seeking His will. And all of a sudden, well, I got here. Yeah. Well, what are you going to do now that you are here? And that's what the wise men faced. They got there. They did all these things right. And even once they were there, they worshipped Him with everything they had. They didn't just get there and say, oh, that was good. Good kid. Like it. And then leave. They got there and they fulfilled their purpose of the whole reason why they had spent all that time studying, all that time learning, all that time anticipating, all that time following, all that time of doing every little step that they were given to do by God. And when they got there, they did not fail. They got there and they worshiped as they were supposed to. And they worshiped like they desired to. They completed every goal that they had for themselves in following God. And now it's all over. Now it's done. Now it's completed. Now they can go home. Like I said, I guarantee you they have every intent to go back and tell Herod. Say, well, how do you know that? Because God had to warn them not to. They believed there were others that wanted to do what they had done. And they believed that it was just right to go back and share it. But the Bible tells us there in verse number 12, and being warned of God in a dream. Now, that right there tells you, at least in my supposition of this whole thing, this is necrology. But I believe they accomplished everything. They spent that evening worshiping God. And when it was done, they went to bed. And the intent was, we're packing up and going home. We've accomplished it. They had one whole reason for being there. That was it. I believe that night, as they slept, getting ready for their trip again, and their intent to go by the Spirit, that night, I believe God came to them and said, all right, boys, new plan. It's time for you to continue my way and don't do what you think you need to do. Being warned in a dream. Does anybody know what it is that you dream? Not daydreaming, okay? You dream at night, you dream when you're sleeping. So God came to him while they were resting. Warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod. Well, what all happened that morning? I don't know. Maybe God gave him this really, Noah had those weird dreams. You ever had those dreams where, I mean, it just, I don't know what kind of sci-fi channel I've been watching. That is some messed up stuff right there. And there could be some really weird things. There are times my wife plays something happening. What did I do? I'm innocent. No, you're not. Some of you fellas might know what I'm talking about. Many times I have to just wake up and say, Lee, I'm sorry for whatever I did last night in your dreams. Right? But we have dreams when we're sleeping. I believe God came to them when they were resting and He said, you're not to go back to Herod. However He presented that to them, however He chose to bring it about, they knew this was not just me, for they knew this was a warning from the same one they had been following this whole time. And therefore, the Bible says that since they had that warning, they departed into their own country on their way. They left instantly, went back to where they came from, didn't follow the same path, and it didn't go back by Herod whatsoever. So there are two things you see here. their vigilance, and how it's revealed, right? Just two simple things were done. They completed their goals, but their completed goal did not give their focus. Just because they accomplished something doesn't mean they let their guard down. They completed their goals, but it did not dim the importance of their focus on the one they had been following. They had to keep following him. And then secondly, you see that in the first part, as because even while dreaming, they were still keyed in enough to God. They knew instantly this is a warning from God himself. He came to them in a dream and warned them. And you know that they took it seriously because the very next thing they did was obey. Woke up the next morning and instantly they went home a different way. So what you see, not only completed goals did not dim their focus, but past obedience did not override present obedience. Well, you know, I'm all in the past. I did good in the past. I've been doing it all the way up to here. I think God will let me slide a little. So their past success did not override the need for present obedience. They knew instantly that God gave them, they were keen enough to know this is God's warning. And then they knew instantly that what we had accomplished in the past does not automatically mean that no matter what we do, we're doing good in the present or the future. No, no. The obedience of the past must also be continued in the present and in the future. It all has to be continuous. It cannot stop. So therefore, my past successes do not automatically mean that my future and my present are going to be permanent and I'm just going to do right. No, no. I'm going to have to make the choice. Every single time God gives direction. Every single time God leads in His way over my way. Every single time God gives me the peace of God as to what I'm to do, it is up to me to make the choice to obey or do it mine. Just because I obeyed for years doesn't mean that it automatically makes what I do now will be minimal. I have to choose every day. You can be the biggest warrior for the cause of Christ. You can be the best follower of the ways of God. And you can be consistently following for 50 years and then one day choose, I think I'll just not do this. Just one time. Just one time, I'm going to try it my way. Just one time, I'm going to see if my idea works good. The past 50 years of obedience will never make that one time of disobedience okay. These men, because they had anticipated patiently, they followed faithfully, they searched diligently, and they worshiped willingly, they had completed their goals. They could go home. But those completed goals did not dim their focus because when God spoke, they heard. When God warned, they knew instantly, you know, this is where this is coming from, and we better listen. And their past obedience did not override their present need for obedience. They said, we've obeyed in the past, we must obey Him now. And they instantly got it. And when they packed up, they went home without going to Herod, and they went a different way. You say, what? Why did they go a different way? Simply, they didn't want Herod coming looking for them and finding them. They were warned about Herod, and therefore they did everything they had to make sure that they would not cross paths with that man, because God told them not to. So they went out of their way to go the right way. These men showed us, even years now, since this time, they showed us the importance of the need for vigilance. What is vigilance? I don't think I can get this definition. I'll give it to you right now. Vigilance, do now. It means that it's the action or state of keeping careful watch for possible danger or difficulties. Careful watch. Just because you completed the goal doesn't mean you let your guard down. Just because you accomplished something for God and you followed Him and He blessed doesn't mean that you stop seeking Him the very next moment. Just because you've been doing good for years doesn't mean you can just coast on what you've been doing. No, no, no. You have to consistently go back to God, consistently seek His way, consistently search out His will, because at any moment God can say, Not that way. Not this time. No. I know it seemed like that would be what I would do because it's what you've been used to doing for years if you follow me. But you know what? This time this is different about the situation. I want you to go this way instead of the usual way. I want you to make this choice instead of the usual choice. I want you to follow me, and it might not be what we think he's going to do. It might be something completely opposite of what we've been used to for years. Every single step, at any moment, God can change the step. At any moment, God can say it's a different way. At any moment, he can say, follow me, not your common sense. Now, I understand that common sense is very important. But sometimes God doesn't make common sense to man. I still want to be in the center of God's will. No matter what victories you win, no matter what goals you reach, no matter how faithful you've been for years in following God, we can never slack up. We can never take for granted that we still have to go with Him every day as we have every day before. You have to constantly go. Be vigilant. Watchful eye. Because God knows something I don't at all times. And I sure would rather him directly in the state and my past. So that even though I might go through the storms, I'm not in the storm alone. He's with me. Kind of in the center of his will. Very important that we stay vigilant as we follow God's way, not always the same. Heavenly Father, we